Tone.
Room tone.
Tone.
Room tone.
Do you feel it?
I do.
Yeah.
Alan?
Yes.
Where are we?
We're in Ottawa.
Obviously, people can recognize that just by the room tone that we let fly.
Yeah.
It feels more like a Canadian room tone.
It does. It's a little crisper.
A little crisper. I would say definitely an Ontario room tone.
Yeah, it's definitely a friendlier room tone, a little friendlier.
It's bilingual, the room tone.
Yeah.
But it could go either way.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the Friends Are Forming Animation Forum live from the Ottawa International Animation Festival 2010.
What we're doing here
is
we're recording interviews, talking to people at the festival.
Getting
to the meat of the bone.
See what people think about their thoughts about animation currently in the year 2010.
Right.
Short films, feature films, films, all types of films from all over the world assembled in this one place today.
Yeah. Well, for the next few days.
Right. Well, the festival will play out over the course of some days. Yeah. That would be a lot of watching.
Yeah.
For one person.
For one day.
We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
As you could surmise from last year, surprises aplenty.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it would be a great tactic.
No.
I believe, I have a feeling, there's going to be such a momentous surge of events, people, comments, interviews. I mean, it's hard even to be in this room because of all the fans who are just crowded around just watching us right now.
Yeah.
Perhaps, Alan.
Yeah.
Perhaps we could experiment with our format for this festival.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Well, perhaps we could make it a montagerie.
Okay. I don't think that's a word, but we could try it.
We could make it.
Is that like a montage and a menagerie?
Of the best sound bites of the festival.
All right.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's try it. See what happens.
Oh.
What?
Plus, as everyone knows, last year, Alan was quite the after-party festival goer.
Yeah.
Don't worry, everyone out
there. It's the best part of the festival for me, because then you get to really meet people and talk to them and drink.
Sometimes you buy them drinks, sometimes they buy you drinks.
Yeah, a little tit for tat, quid pro quo.
Cogito ergo sum.
Whatever.
So join us, everyone, won't you, on this delightful journey through what is the minefield and the mind field of international animation that's animated. Chris Robinson, the director of the festival, is sitting down with us to discuss things.
Yeah. Am I on?
You're on.
You're on. You have a new book.
Yes.
What is the name of the book?
Which one? There's two.
Right. What are the names of both of them?
Animators Unearthed.
Is that about dead animators?
Yeah.
Cool.
But they're alive for now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So they will be
animators
dead.
Who will be dead.
So it's prescient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing's ever been done like this before.
It's groundbreaking.
They had to break the ground to actually get
probably
them out, too.
Yeah.
The other one's Time Out of Mind, about Japanese people.
Hmm. Japanese, just like the culture?
Oh, animators.
Okay.
Yeah.
An interesting thing that's happened at this festival that I haven't seen happen at the festival before is that there seems to be a theme with the work, which is independent Japanese animation.
Oh.
Yeah.
That theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a theme song that goes with this year's theme?
It's called Ichinichi Wawa.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And who's that by?
Ichinichi Wawa. It's like from their first album.
Oh, good.
Ichinichi Wawa.
Right.
The titular track to their name.
It's the only track.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese animation.
Did you say that independent Japanese animators have been influenced by such people as Pritparn, Igor Kovalyev?
They've been influenced by Japanese people.
Okay.
And who? Pritparn?
Yeah.
What is that?
The
Japanese food?
I think it's a Japanese drug.
Mm.
When you watch animation, do you like seeing
animation? No.
Nope.
No?
Favorite books written by you? Or other people?
My early work, Bridge Clipper.
What's that about?
A veterinarian who's married to a cross-dressing sheep woman.
And isn't that the one where she works as a drawbridge operator?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Roberto Benigni plays
the drawbridge.
Yeah. I know a guy. He's got a big hole above the crack of his ass, and it bleeds sometimes.
Is that like a tail, vestigial tail hole?
I don't know. It bothers me,
though.
Because
if you don't get it removed correctly, it will leave an indentation like a belly button.
Maybe, yeah. Next question.
Do you have any questions for us?
Why?
Life is both unfair and fair, depending on your perspective, the timing, when things happen, and how you respond to it.
That's fair. I think. Maybe.
No. I always say maybe exclamation point. Because it maybe by itself will elicit a question mark.
I have a problem with exclamation points. It probably goes back to my childhood.
What?
They scare me.
Too aggressive?
Yeah. Yeah. They're menacing. They hover.
When did you learn punctuation?
In my room, hovering.
At what age?
Probably around that time that I started getting scared of the exclamation points.
Yeah.
My God.
It makes a statement. Did you say my God?
My God. Was it dad and a bat?
Ooh.
And a ball.
Oh, this can't go good.
Was there a ball and a stick? And the stick was above the ball?
And pancakes.
Ah. Was that replacing the water?
It was some sort of fluid.
Was maple syrup involved?
Yes.
Yeah. Classic example of the fear of at least exclamation points.
So maybe it wasn't the exclamation points. I think this has been an important moment for me.
Yeah.
I think I can come to terms with my fear of exclamation points.
All I can say is you're welcome. And maybe it's about time.
I think maybe you should call exclamation point tonight and tell it how you feel.
Maybe apologize for the way I treated them.
Yeah, a letter to exclamation point, not using exclamation points.
You think that would be wrong? They don't like that? Only they can use exclamation points with each other?
You don't think it would be flattering, maybe, if he maybe throws one in?
I would do, in Spanish, an upside-down one next to one that's upright. Because then it's like yin-yang.
They like that.
They do like that.
Yeah.
That's harmony and balance.
That's respect.
Maybe you need to reverse the exclamation point.
In your heart.
No. Well, I can see this has been difficult for me. And
I don't think I can do this anymore.
You mean cry?
Yeah.
You're still doing it, though. It's okay. You can be honest with yourself.
No, I can't cry anymore.
Well, Chris Robinson, thank you so much. For stopping by and chatting with us. And best of luck with whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 Why are you still here?
I don't know. Where am I supposed to go?
I bet you have an itinerary.
I got to go pee.
All right. See you later.
Right, good luck.
Look, he's skipping away. Wow, that's the happiest I've ever seen him.
Right here.
Look at that. He's high-fiving everyone at the festival. What? Wow.
Something happened.
Something happened there.
Something happened.
I don't know.
Something happened this afternoon, and we're doing it again tomorrow night. Full house.
What's in the inappropriate for kids screening?
I wish I could hear. It's what's in it is these are cartoons that were shown in theaters and on television within the last 50 years, but in the last 20 years are now deemed inappropriate because they feature smoking, drinking, sex, sexism, cross-dressing. I'm pulling out the list here of all the stuff.
Drug, doesn't look like a
drug
list.
Drug taking. Oh. No, I mean, and of course, I don't know if I said racism, but I mean yeah, a lot of that right. stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just a sample of that. We had the Flintstones for Winston cigarettes. They were sponsored by.
Right.
A cigarette
I saw
company,
that
right?
clip on your
right.
website. Yeah.
Right. And it's. Just Uncle Tom's Cabana, which is the final film of our show because it's Tex Avery. It's sex, violence, and racism combined. And I think there's even smoking in there, so there's everything in there.
Perfect. The perfect film.
It's all sorts of just stuff like that that I just sort of threw together, and it kind of works as a show. I think people are enjoying it. Yeah.
Now,
laughing.
Now, just for continuity,
yes.
Can you tell us who you are?
Okay.
And what you do?
I'm Jerry Beck. I am the co-creator of Cartoon Brew, which is a
Ooh.
Wonderful blog.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
thank you.
I don't know. You know, we might be enemies.
I know. Uh-oh. I think you're being telecast Ooh. On my friend Ron Diamond's thing.
Yeah.
But
we'll let it slide for now
what the hell?
Since we're
I'll
here.
Get a nice plug. But I also am an author of numerous books on animation. My latest one is called The 100 Greatest Looney Tunes. And I've done about 15 books on various subjects, Hanna-Barbera, Nickelodeon cartoons. I'm probably really good ones that I'm forgetting right now, but done a bunch of books like that. And I'm a consultant. I was a former studio exec. I mean, I can go on and on.
Yeah,
I have a lifetime of...
Yeah.
I've done everything in animation except actually draw it, and I actually have drawn it, actually, on occasion, but not professionally.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
So there you go. So start your stream of consciousness fun.
One thing that I've always thought about in terms of animation is golf.
Golf?
Yeah.
Isn't golf, I may have this wrong, isn't that one of those games where the lower the score, the better you do,
I think
right?
you're thinking about javelins.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
No, I think that's
Or is it
that's
bowling?
Golf. I think that's golf.
Javelins.
Like, as you can tell, animators don't know much about sports.
No. Space Jam was a big mistake.
Yes.
Oh, trying to combine the two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that. You know, that's like, who's the audience? Is someone who loves cartoons or somebody who loves sports? You know, and it's two kind of, you know, it's like making a Star Trek sports movie.
The two rarely meet up.
You know, when they first were writing Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it was going to be Who Framed Roger Rabbit in space playing basketball.
I thought it was for betting on baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who yeah. framed him during the World Series.
Right.
Right.
1819? Right. Some people say that animation is influenced by the psychological recesses of the human brain. The subconscious, or unconscious. First of all, tell us the difference between the two, and then where
I feel like
is
I'm back in 1968 and you're a guru or something. My dark place.
Yeah. Where is it, and then tell us the difference between...
I'm sitting on it right now.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, jeez.
The subconscious and the unconscious.
Yes, the difference.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Yes. Yes, the subconscious. That is the place where we react to the wonders of animation.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're talking about like Aristotle's definition.
Yeah, I think so. Because the subconscious is there while you're awake and conscious.
Right.
Right.
But the unconscious is when I'm sleeping at night and I have no friggin' idea what's going on. So, or I'm watching one of the features he's running this year at the festival, which I did put me into unconsciousness at several times, so I won't name any names.
Are you talking about the live-action He-Man movie?
I did see a live-action movie here that was animated. Anyway, I feel like we're getting off the track.
Yeah, we're talking about animation.
I'm trying not to name the name. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the one animated feature actually had live-action in it. I think you can guess which film it is if you actually look through the program book. You'll figure it out.
Was it Cool World?
You're not saying. Ralph, I'm sorry I hated that film.
Yeah, oh boy.
One of my worst. I do a show called The Worst Cartoons Ever Made at the San Diego Comic Con.
So
I'm a connoisseur of bad.
Okay. What is your favorite bad cartoon?
Well, my favorite. Well, it's hard to say because I have so many, but my favorite. I'll name a few of them for you if you want. But we're showing Mighty Mr. Titan. Which is pretty bad. That's most of these cartoons you haven't heard of.
Okay.
And they're not
what
even
is that?
Mighty Mr. Triton was a early 1960s physical fitness cartoon that was shown on television, and it's 5 minutes of a guy doing calisthenics, like, and it's limited animation. So he's spinning his arm, and it goes on and on, and kids' entertainment hasn't been so cheap and entertaining. It's horrible, but it's hilarious in retrospect. Another favorite, of course, is Super President, which was on NBC on Saturday morning. It's a real show. Super President James Norcross doesn't want anybody to know his secret identity, so he dresses up as Super President.
Oh,
and he travels around
makes
with his chief of
sense
staff.
To me. Yeah, yeah.
His sidekick is this guy in a suit.
Oh, you is know? That like a? It's not like a magical stick. His chief of staff?
No, it's a real human.
Maybe a Native American chief.
No, it's very insane. And he has the power to turn into anything, like metal or gas or the first president with gas, I guess. No, but
Super President is a shapeshifter.
Yeah. Well, he's not a shapeshifter. He can turn his body into stone or vapor. Wow. Right. I mean,
so he can like make an instant monument of himself.
Yeah, I guess.
That's pretty cool.
Very good. He should never visit Mount Rushmore.
No.
Got a cough button here? No. We can go on.
Would you like a lozenge? I have lozenges.
No, I have one, but I don't.
All right.
Let's see. There's Johnny Cypher in Dimension Zero.
That sounds like an awesome show.
It does sound awesome,
yeah.
Unfortunately. It was the thing about these a lot of these early TV cartoons, which are mainly the things I show, is that the producers seem to be in a race to who can do the show the cheapest. So
aren't they still?
Yeah.
Doing
No. Even our worst shows today are miles above these things. Johnny Cypher is a science fiction show. It's 6 minutes long, and you really can't do science fiction in 6 minutes. And it's by the guys who did Hercules. Remember the Mighty Hercules?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same producer, but the only difference is that they farmed out the animation to Japan. First series to do that. So it's like early anime, crappy anime.
It's delicious.
Really, really bad anime. So, I mean, I can go on and on and on.
Do you have any questions for us?
Yeah. What the hell are you guys doing?
Oh, it's a great question. No,
it's a very good question.
What the hell are you guys doing here? You have your podcast, and apparently it is on AWN and other
affiliates.
Things other affiliates?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Is it animation related all the time, usually?
It is, yes. We have guests on from the animation industry. Writers.
Yeah. And where are you based out of?
Two different places.
New Boston.
Okay.
Alan's in New York. Oh. I'm in Boston.
Very cool.
We combine forces, usually in New York.
Very cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool.
But we've traveled the globe, meaning Boston, New York, and LA.
And Ottawa. And, yeah.
Right. That sounds like my travels.
But did you realize that you are here on our anniversary of our podcast?
Really?
Well, yeah, our one-year anniversary.
This is our one-year anniversary.
1 year.
We started last year at Ottawa, and, I mean, I don't have to tell you the sensation it's caused.
It's
in
caused
that 1 year.
Incredible sensation that I have
rippling.
All these questions.
Yeah.
And I didn't know them already. But, this is congratulations to you guys. I'm an ex-New Yorker. I live in L.A. now.
Ah.
Amid. My partner on Cartoon Brew is, I don't know where he came from, but he was from L.A., and now he lives in New York. So we are similarly bicoastal.
Yes.
Or something like that.
I met Amid at Annecy several years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're all in the same racket, I guess.
It's true.
Weird
it is. No, it's not weird.
Yeah.
It's
no,
true.
We are.
I mean, you can, there's a lot of corruption.
I've seen mostly corruption. I know. And payola for me.
I got to get me some payola.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of slush funds.
Most of my payola are people in the industry who beg me to not let Amid write about them. You know, I will give you lots of money if he doesn't write about our studio.
That is so great. I mean, people have done the same thing with us. Please don't talk to us.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like,
Here you go. Here's a check.
Right.
Here's a bus ticket home.
Well, you know what? In the animation scene, if you say, here's a check, you might mean an actual animator.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I bet they've heard all of those, too.
I
bet they're
I bet
sick
they
of
have.
Them.
They're like, you have a game called based on us? We must play this game. I don't know. Very good, fellas.
Yes.
Well,
thank you.
I'm happy.
Jerry Beck.
Thank you. I'm here to.
Please take a card and
I'll
listen.
Take one of my
we have 19 episodes up there, chock full of things that you love in particular.
I can't wait to listen to it. And I thank you guys for having me on.
Thank All right. You. Thank Thanks you again. Very much. Enjoy the rest of the
we're
festival,
we're
Jerry Beck.
To clap for people.
I know, we haven't been clapping.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us who you are and why you're here.
I'm Tara. I'm from the Curtis and Tara Show.
Thank you.
We do a podcast.
Wait, what? You do a podcast?
I do a podcast too, yeah.
And where do you do this podcast?
We do our podcast out of Miramichi, New Brunswick.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes.
And what is your podcast about?
Our podcast is about two animators, the both of us, who we used to live in Halifax and work out of Halifax, and we moved from the tiny city of Halifax to the tinier city, rural city of Miramichi. And just our...
Miramichi.
Yeah, it's a very rural city in New Brunswick.
Yes.
Small town.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, do you podcast about the animation that you're making?
Well,
or about animation
in
general?
We make animation. We talk about animation. We're animators, but we just talk about comedy and funny things that happen to us in our lives.
Huh.
Is that similar to what you guys do?
Maybe a little bit.
So that's good.
But
I think great minds think alike.
I think so too, because there's just not enough comedy in animation. So
I don't
many people
think
so. Are so serious. I come to this festival.
Too serious.
Everyone glum, pouty face, staring at
What's up with that?
They want to.
It's supposed to be fun.
Right. It looks like they want to twiddle their thumbs, but they can't because they've been. It's like carpal thumb.
It's true.
And it's
Very
just,
true.
As you've seen, the saddest, sad state.
What is up with that?
I don't know.
We got to change that.
You know what I think would be great?
What?
Showing old shows of Alvin the Chipmunks on TVs in a bar.
That would be something that might make people, oh,
and playing
or Scooby-Doo
and playing light hits from the 70s.
That's gonna make everything happier.
So, are you working on something right now?
I'm actually an instructor. That's why we moved to Miramichi. Mm-hmm. So I'm retired from animation.
What? Can you say that? Are you like Amanda Bynes, and you're gonna have to take that back?
No, I just, I've been working in the animation industry for about 10 years, and I always wanted to teach when I retired.
Yeah.
An animation instructor position came up, and I was like, hey, what about Freedom 35? Let's do it. So I retired. My spouse still animates.
Now, if I might guess, you look like you're about 20.
So, marry me!
So you retired at the age of 20 from animation. That's pretty amazing. Wow. All right. Well,
it worked out good for me.
Are you going to have to renege on that, or are you...
No, I'm not going to renege. One of the reasons that I had to actually quit animation, I still do some part-time stuff. I also do illustrations for comics, and I have self-published my own children's book.
Wow.
So I still do stuff, but...
I like how you're active in your retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just my
it's
fun
pretty
project.
Good.
So
yeah.
Just as a side. But what happened to me was when I was working in the animation industry, I was really overworked, working in television, working 14-hour days. I got tendonitis. We used to call it animator blowout. So your arm had a blowout, and it was...
Cell painter's elbow is what we call it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I got. So what happened was I was really not able to work 14-hour days anymore. And I don't think that's something that I want to go back to again.
Nor should...
But you never say never.
Right.
Yes.
And I would say not healthy for anybody.
And I think that... But I think that if I ever went back, I would do my own productions as opposed to working for a studio or something like that.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't... not to say that working for a studio is bad or anything.
You just said you hate all studios.
I gained all my experience. I always said that.
You just...
But...
On live, going out to America.
I hate all studios, but... You didn't hear the but in there.
Oh, yeah?
And I said the but.
But you love them.
But I love them.
Yeah.
I really
the
love
same
them.
Time.
If I could do anything with my life, it would be working at an animation studio, but I can't. So
I hear you. It's difficult.
It's difficult.
You know what's great, though?
Yeah. What?
Having friends start their own animation studios and then they hire you.
Oh, that's what I need.
And then you kind of work
get
from
some
home.
Friends. Do you know any of these people?
I do.
Can you hook me up?
Yeah. So I'm sure...
In my retirement?
I'm sure I've gone on way too long asking you about you. Go ahead. You can ask me about me.
What about you?
Specifically?
What is this podcast about?
Okay. Well, this is the premier podcast of
United States. I won't say North America, but I'll say
no
the United
way.
States.
Okay.
It is the premier comedy podcast about animation featuring
awesome.
Myself, Joel Frenzer.
And I get to be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah,
so
yeah,
excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, we are bi-coastal, even.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Out of L.A., out of New York, out of Boston. Now we've gone to Canada.
Wow.
Now, and it's heard all throughout the globe on all 12 continents.
That is wicked.
I even heard that NASA was thinking about shipping a little capsule, MP3 iPod, out into outer space. Not protected by anything.
So is this my cue to plug my podcast?
Yes.
So if you want to hear more about me.
Yes.
Is this shameless self-promotion?
No, it's
shameful. Because that's what I'm going for.
It's shameful self-promotion.
Okay, okay, wicked. Okay. Yeah. So curtisandtaraShow.blogspot.com. You can visit us there.
Curtis and Tara.
The Curtis
Show.
And Tara Show.
The Curtis and Tara
the
Show.
But it's, sorry, the website is www.curtisandtara.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But on Podcast Alley or iTunes.
Okay.
The Curtis and Tara Show.
Nice.
You can listen to us talk about what it's like to live in a small rural town
yeah.
and make fun of our neighbors.
How often do you post?
We do a weekly podcast.
Nice.
Got lots of episodes if you're an animator and you're looking for something to listen to after you listen to this show.
Good idea.
Then you always can go to the Curtis.
You're saying like this is kind of like a Carson Letterman type of thing.
That works really good
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
I right. love it.
All right.
I love it.
Well, thank you. And good to meet you.
It was great.
And
to meet you. I'm going to have to wipe the sweat off my hands and.
Thank
hand.
You. It's because, be honest, there is a mud wrestling competition.
And I'm muddy.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just wearing a bikini.
Yeah.
Covered in mud. I don't even.
Which is pretty.
I gotta go change.
You have to be Canadian to do that because.
All Canadian women mud wrestle.
And when it starts getting cold.
One of our classes in high school is mud wrestling.
Yep.
You can take it as a gym requirement.
Can you get a PhD in it in Canada?
Some people do get a PhD in it.
Okay.
And go on to bigger, better things, for sure.
Like Jell-O?
But I just do it as a pastime.
Okay.
Like Jell-O, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's out of my league.
Yeah.
I'm just mud.
Work up to that.
Mud for now.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll see you around.
Thank you for having
Enjoy.
Me. Enjoy. Definitely see you around.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Yeah. Pretend we're not here. All right. Pretend you're not here also.
I need another glass of wine now.
So we are recording now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Alan, tell us where we are and who we're talking to.
We're at the hippest restaurant in Ottawa. It's on a lake. In a lake.
Are you sure it's not on a hydroponic salad field?
It could be. It could. Oh, what? We have a man with drinks coming through. Oh my lord!
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Drinks
what?
Are coming to me.
That's
weird.
We're standing here
okay.
with.
We have many people in front of us. Tell us, run it down.
We have three people in front of us. What's your name?
I'm Steve Gentile.
Are we live?
Yeah, it's live.
Are you Alan?
I'm Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan. Nice.
That's nice to meet you too.
Yeah, sure.
I've been hearing about you, but I haven't met you yet. How are you?
I'm good. I got a glass of ice.
Steve just brought me a whiskey drink. Thank you so much.
So we've got Steve Gentile.
Let's run it down.
Sam Cho.
And
Rob Anderson.
Oh, this is like the trifecta.
This is a meeting of the what? The brains.
The brains.
Now,
let's go around the circle.
Let's go around
and
the
ask
circle
them
and ask them why.
What they're drinking. What they're drinking. What are you drinking?
Well, now I have a whiskey because Joel has a whiskey. What Joel does, I have to do.
Whiskey.
I'm ashamed to say, just white wine.
I have completed my drinks and I have actually nothing to drink at the moment, but I'm hoping to have a rum and coke shortly.
Rob Anderson, you have been on the show before, is that correct?
You are correct.
And what's it like being back on the show?
It's almost like a deja vu, but I've already had it.
Oh. Is that deja vu?
Yeah, deja vu.
How do you translate that?
I have no idea.
Into Swahili.
Yeah, no, I don't even
I
know.
It's
yeah,
it's
I dated a girl named Deja one time.
Was she Swahilian?
She felt very familiar.
Okay.
And Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do?
I'm a writer, director, animator. I do it all.
Now, did you skip breakfast because you're up all night? having fun in Ottawa as an animator or partier?
I did, actually. I did.
Too much fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Steve, who are you wearing?
I am wearing London Fog. I got it in a thrift store.
That's so continental of you.
Maybe I could...
There is. We're going to listen to the tag for a minute.
Wow. That's deep.
Wow.
That's deep.
Yeah. That's great.
So why are we all here and what are we doing and why are we here? Good.
I think.
Steve, speechless?
Well, we're drinking in the day.
Yes, that is right, and that's the right answer.
You know, it's sunny out, sort of.
Clinking in glasses.
I got nothing to clink on.
Wow, this is like the best backdrop sound. Rob Anderson, your thoughts on the festival so far, sum it up.
I've had a very sleepless nights, which is always a good sign, which means I've been talking to a lot of really great people and seeing a lot of really great films and drinking copious amounts of alcohol while doing both those things.
Would that be alcohol in kind of like a drink form you get at a bar or at a convenience store?
No, it was at a bar, I believe.
Okay.
I don't quote me on that, but I believe it was a bar.
Can you quote someone in an audio? I guess you can.
My favorite quote of all time is an Oscar Wilde quote.
But, yeah.
Okay, it's the only thing to do with good advice is to pass it on because it's never of any use to oneself.
That is brilliant, but he wrote that down, right?
He did.
So that made it a quote.
It did.
If you would have recorded it, would have not been a quote, but a soundbite?
It probably would have been a soundbite, yes, you're right. Yeah. Splitting hairs there, I think.
What do you think about gerundives?
What's that?
Gerundives.
Gerundives. Are they the things that go underneath the boat so that you don't bottom out when you're in a marsh?
Yes.
I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've saved my life more than once.
I think that this lake around us is a recycling center for them.
I think so. Now that the lake has been emptied of water, for whatever reason, they do that every year because they don't want it to all freeze, I guess.
But don't want animators to skinny dip during the party?
Maybe. You see some really interesting, I like this word now, detritus on the bottom of the lake.
Yes. Just imagine if they drain the Ottawa Canal.
Oh, they do that, yes.
Do they?
And there's even more interesting detritus there as well. Yeah.
And by detritus, do you mean mob bodies?
I think they have discovered bodies before, but that might be an urban legend.
Is there a Canadian mob?
I believe so, yes. I think they're mostly based in Montreal.
Okay.
Although there might be some here in town, too. Don't quote me on that, though.
I can't quote you because it's audio.
Don't soundbite me on
that. Okay, there you go. There you go. And where are you from?
I actually was born and raised in Ottawa, but now I live in Toronto.
What's the thing you love most about Toronto?
About Toronto?
Yeah.
Well, it keeps me working. How's that?
That's good.
Yeah.
There's an industry there, I hear.
There's an industry. There's a big industry there.
It's, there's logging. Ice. Block.
A lot of ice
shipping.
Sculptures.
Ice sculptures.
A lot of
Iditarods.
Iditarods. Yep. Raising huskies and dog sled team.
Ice cap melting.
That's a job further. Now.
Yeah.
That's an official title.
Yeah. It brings more water to estuaries.
Yeah.
Steve Gentile.
What?
Now tell us.
Yes.
Tell us about why
you
came here.
And I'm a chaperone.
What does that mean? Is that you just put up quotes? Are you in the other trade that happens here in Ottawa?
Is it
chaperone or chaperone?
Are you a Chef Boyardee?
Wow, you look just like him.
Yeah, I know. I get it all the time.
Ravioli or spaghetti?
I like the little round macaronis.
Ooh.
So the meatballs get lost in the round things.
Wow, you put up quotes again. That was weird.
That would be SpaghettiOs I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Meatballs,
Yeah. I like Fusilios.
Fusilli Jerry.
Yes.
I just noticed you have the Great Pirate shirt.
Wait, what?
Alan,
your shirt is like a skull and crossbones.
Why are you a pirate today?
Yeah, well, because today I'm taking over this festival, motherfuckers.
Is it going to be a pirate-themed festival from now
from
on?
From now on, we're just out for the booty.
Ooh, is it called the Booty Festival?
It's called the Booty Festival.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all about booty right now. It's nothing to do with animation. It's 100% booty-centered.
What do you win if you win the award?
A parrot.
Do you know why pirates had parrots on their shoulders? Well, I'll tell you.
Oh,
it's because pirates had parrots on their shoulders to pick the maggots out of their eye hole
that their patch was covering.
Jeez. It's in my next movie.
Your next movie is about eye patches, right?
And your
pirate movie?
Pirate animation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But it's historical in nature.
Which kinds of pirates?
Well, I'm going to focus...
The Somalian or Mexican?
No. The golden era pirates. I'm focusing on Edward Lowe. He was a pirate named Ned.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a very terrifying pirate name, I have to say.
But?
He was the most sadistic of
them
all.
Yes, he's the worst one of them all.
How so?
The irony.
He lopped off one captain's ears and insisted the captain eat them with salt and pepper.
Rob, what would your next animated film be about?
It would be a personal introspective on the reason why I have such regular bowel movements.
Oh, yeah. What would you call it?
I'd call it regular bowel movements. But I think it would be more of a political a subtext to this film. And, you know, the bowel movement
would represent
a revolution within the you know, the system that we have now.
The underground system.
Underground.
System.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You use words like that that have loaded with meaning, right?
You know, so. And they'd be called the duodenums.
Okay.
Or the... Iliads?
Or the Iliad, yes.
Or the Odysseys.
I think the Odyssey is a good one, yeah.
The GI tract basically is an odyssey for your food.
That's right. Yes. It's good.
Good point. Good point.
My Charybdis is in my liver.
Really? It's fascinating. Should we do plugs?
Yeah.
All right.
Go.
Do you have anything to plug, Steve?
Where can we see your work?
Yeah, where can people see your
work? SteveGentile.com. Clips up there.
Awesome.
You know what we've never done before? Two interviews at the same time.
He was a
we're going to try it right now. Here we go. We're just keep going. We're keep going.
I'm scared.
Tell us your whole life story.
And, you know, to overcompensate. He was also short and fat.
It would be far too short.
And he's just, you know,
that is so beautiful.
Overcompensation.
You're such a giving man.
He's trying too hard.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
Rob Anderson, plug in his website right now. Here we go.
www.noise2signal.com.
Not a very good.
And you're now getting into kind of some interactive work.
No one even really knows how it ended. He just
interactive
did pirating for 3 years. And
it doesn't really have anything on it at the moment, but you can go there and see what's not there.
It was really effective.
Maybe.
We're blowing people's minds. This is like stereophonic phonic.
With a nice investment. You know.
No podcasts have done this ever.
Wait, what's happening?
Two interviews at the same time.
Yeah, two interviews at the same time. I know.
Never happened before.
I'm trying to confuse Joel as much as possible because he's the only one with headphones on, so he's hearing both things at the same time.
You know what? It's not even confusing me at all.
It is kind of like a Velvet Underground.
Yeah, it's like some early 70s animation.
And what about Sam here?
Sam, plugs.
Where can we see your work?
Sorry, what did you say? I can't hear a thing here.
Do you have a website?
We're still talking about pirates here.
Do you have a website?
I got nothing to say about pirates. It scared the shit out of me.
About pirates.
Plug your website. Plug your YouTube. Oh, yes. Yes, check us out. www.thewrongblock.com. I forgot it. Thewrongblock.com. It's a detective story. It's a trailer. Check it out. You'll like it.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Beautiful time.
For hanging out and chatting with us.
I think somebody roofied my drink.
It might have been me.
Rum and Coke
I'm
now.
Not saying it wasn't.
On Alan.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
Alan will buy you a rum and Coke now.
I think I'd rather just drink it on Alan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant.
Okay, all right. Good.
Okay. Describe where you are and what you see.
I am in the middle of a lake. I see some beautiful little ducks. Look at them out there. They're so pretty. They're all hanging out together on these little islands.
There's some parasailers.
There's some. The clouds are starting to come in. The sun is setting. It's getting
to be
dark. The leaves are changing.
Most people.
The geese have not gone south yet.
Most people are on.
Holy shit! There's a pumpkin
that looks
like it's been massacred right in front of me.
So we're at the pumpkin carving contest.
Looks like somebody just came through with a.
It looks like it was carved by duck feet.
Looks like it was carved by fucking Zodiac killer.
Who was number one? Can we ascertain who was number one pumpkin?
I don't think they've announced number one yet.
I personally think the loser will be number one.
Yay!
What happened? Derek, come back. You're a good blow-by-blow. You're really like a spy. What happened?
I believe a mass art student just won the pumpkin competition
with
a wearable diving mask pumpkin.
Steve Gentile's own student just won the biggest contest of pumpkin carving at the Ottawa Animation Festival this year today.
Courtney White? Confirmed by Courtney White. Courtney! Get over here.
Courtney, come on over. Come on over. It's painless. Get over here. You're only on TV and audio. You're only on multi-transmedia at the same time, live.
So, you know, kind of fill us in on what we're so far away from the results. It's such a popular contest.
Who won and how did they win it?
She was wearing her pumpkin, which is genius. To wear your pumpkin? That's
never
good.
Been done. Genius.
It's never been done in the history of pumpkin carving ever.
At Ottawa,
but
ever.
It just happened. No, yeah, in the never. Whole world.
I'd say global, universally.
Now I don't know what happened either. Now you have to recruit someone.
They're cheering. Steve. I think they want you to skinny dip in the muck.
You need to get in the middle of it, gorilla style.
Are pumpkins, would you say pumpkins by nature are waterproof?
The external, I'd say. The inside might rot away. I don't know. What do you think?
Over time.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to say they would biodegrade. Totally.
Do you think Julian Schnabel's next film is The Diving Bell and the Pumpkin?
It better be.
I think so, too.
I think you're inspiring him now. It's reverse.
Yep. You know, many times I think about different types of vegetables and what you could do with them. What about this? Making kites out of vegetables.
Do it.
Genius.
Has anyone ever made a kite pumpkin that flies?
What kind of vegetable would you use?
We made an airplane, though, last year. You remember that?
Out of what?
Out of a pumpkin. We're still pumpkins.
Did it fly?
It was in a tree, which sort of looked like flying.
All right. I would make kites out of vegetables, and I would make galoshes out of fruit skins.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we got some people front row from the pumpkin carving contest. Come here.
Hello, and tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Rue.
And did you perchance partake in a pumpkin carving contest today?
I may have.
And what were the results?
They were pretty good.
Yes.
Amanda Sievers, we won.
You guys won?
Yeah.
Was it a group effort?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was a huge group effort. Katie, who's not here right now.
So it was you, Amanda, and Katie?
Yeah. Yes.
She wore the helmet. So
she was very stoic.
She's the real
Describe
winner.
The whole process from the first time you looked at the pumpkin selection and to the final product.
You can start. Oh, well, I think it all started with an Estonian film. And
really?
A wonderful Estonian
film. Our inspiration.
Film. The Diver. Yeah. That
We decided to do a tribute to it. So
the pumpkin had to be large enough to fit Katie's head, so we looked for the biggest pumpkin we could find.
She had the smallest head of all of us.
Has the filmmaker who made that film seen your pumpkin yet?
I don't think they're here this year.
I'm
very upset.
Why?
Estonia's a long way away.
Okay, ship it to them.
I've never met an Estonian before.
Can somebody test the helmet and actually go deep sea diving in the canal that we have out here?
Are you Katie? Congratulations.
Hi, guys.
God.
Pumpkin in her hair to prove it.
That was fun.
You have pumpkin specks in your hair.
I do. Yeah. It's a little damp. It was actually warm in there, and it was really like...
Do you want it back?
Do I want it back?
Yeah.
It's just heavy. I don't know.
Are you going to wear it for the rest of the festival?
Yes.
Alan. It seems to me that you went inside to get your coat, but the whole time you could have been out here wearing pumpkin parts for warmth. What do you think about that?
I'm a fool, obviously. I'm a fool. Next year, I'll know better, and I'll just wear pumpkin. Pumpkin armor.
In the history of Ottawa, there's never been a collaboration by every pumpkin carver. I put this to the test right now, Chris. But perhaps next year, people do that.
Well, we could get the world's largest pumpkin of the year. Those are usually 1,500 pounds. So.
Not only did you win, you just won our hearts.
Congratulations, guys.
Everyone, woo! Alan and I are clinking. And, there's wine involved and beer. Clinking. Wow. My God. Mind-boggling.
I want to see this thing.
Yeah, let's go take a check.
Let's go take a look.
Let's go take a check. Alan Foreman.
Joel Frenzer.
Steve Gentile.
Yeah.
Hello.
Describe to me what you see before you.
There's a burger on a pumpkin. There's a pumpkin with a handle, like a teapot pumpkin. There's a pumpkin that's been cut into little cubes. The cubist pumpkin. There's the pumpkin that looks like it has ears or some kind of vestigial twin growth on the side of its head. There's
I think there's a camera lens inside one of these. Is that intentional?
It looks like there might be either a camera lens or a beer bottle inside of this pumpkin here.
Yeah.
Do you think they made a camera out of a pumpkin?
Probably not.
You know what I'm impressed by
There's a Pac-Man pumpkin. Pac-Man pumpkin. That's pretty good. There's a shark. A shark over there. It's pretty nice.
I'm impressed a little bit by just the stems on these pumpkins.
Those are some pretty good stems.
I mean, these look like dragons. These are dragon stems.
Yeah.
I see that there is a...
a correlation, a definite correlation between animation and pumpkin carving. I mean, obviously, Alan, tell us.
With the, because of the elephant or because of the shark? Shark's tail? That's Shark Tales themed pumpkin.
We should ship that to Scott Aukerman.
We should, yeah.
The idea that you have a certain skill set.
Yeah.
You, Alan.
Yes.
Steve, you'd have this too.
It's called being anal.
Yes.
It's anal retentiveness.
It's called being alcoholic.
Mixed with alcohol.
That is a skill, right? Yeah. Thought so.
Mixed with the pure joy of life.
Yeah.
And living. And yeah. Alan, what's the derivation of animation?
Anima.
What's the derivation of anima?
Animus.
What is the subparticle of animus?
Dark matter.
And what is the opposite of dark matter?
Plus matter.
Meaning pumpkins. There's your connection right there.
Obviously, yeah.
I see a lot of matter in front of me.
I do, too.
It's of a gourd variety.
Yeah.
And
which is not a fruit or a vegetable.
There's a nice little traditional jack-o'-lantern.
It's like
then there's a nice bouquet.
Like a bowl of flowers. Bowl of flower
a bouquet
pumpkin.
Of pumpkin flowers. Yeah. You know what makes a perfect gift for the holidays?
No, I don't.
Diamonds.
That is true. Well, yeah. For particular people.
Now we've come to the infamous toilet pumpkin.
Oh,
It's if I can describe it for you, it is about the size of a child's commode.
It's very commodic.
The stem is a flushing
Alan?
Tool, and Alan is sticking his face right into the little tiny poos.
Smells like pumpkin poo.
Yep.
It looks like they ate the seeds of a pumpkin and then evacuated.
Evacuated.
My mother's term of endearment for me when I was little was pumpkin poo.
Really? That's what she called you?
Come here, pumpkin poo.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Come here, pumpkin poo, and clean out the garage, pumpkin poo.
I don't know how I feel about that.
The stem is the flusher. You know, aren't they always on the left side for some reason?
Not in Canada. It's like Australia, but in Canada.
Yeah, and if you notice, the actual the pumpkin poo is going down counterclockwise as opposed to clockwise.
That's more like in the North Pole.
It's more like
South
America.
In the North Pole, when you flush your poo, it levitates above the toilet.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
It's terrifying. So where's the mask? I want to see this.
Right, the mask. On to the mask.
We're going to the number one winning pumpkin, which was a mask.
There is, I would like to point out, one detail on this
pumpkin. That is amazing detail. Describe it to Alan.
It says, for a good time, call 418-0. Is that a 598?
We're going to call
that
right now.
Number.
All right, I'm calling it right now.
I think it's Joel's. You going to call it? Okay.
All right.
Ready?
We're punching it in.
Probably
Alan
Barbados
is dialing it
something.
Into his BlackBerry that he loves. He loves using BlackBerry products,
yep.
Not iPhones at all.
Okay, he's dialing. That is a
where there's a bit. Okay, there's a bit of confusion on the writing and then clarification, audio wise.
Okay.
Alan's making the phone call right now.
One ringy dingy.
Tell us what's happening right now. Alan's drinking his beer while he's waiting for the person to pick up.
You shouldn't drink and dial.
Okay. The person's picked up and.
Okay.
You might have to talk to this person.
Yeah. Still ringing.
Still ringing.
You've reached the phone of Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. This is the Friends Are Forum and Animation Forum podcast.
Yeah.
We're looking at your toilet pumpkin right now. It said for a good time, call you. I'm bored. What are we going to do today? And I mean today. If you want to call us back, call us back. You have our number now. We're going to go graffiti different bathrooms all across the parks of Greater Canada.
Thanks for the tip.
I like your work. Love you.
Okay.
All right.
See
what happens there. Now we need to find the winning pumpkin.
We'll wait for Bonnie.
Bonnie, we'll be over by the helmets thing.
Oh, I see some angry
here.
Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Oh, using cutlery as appendages. Some forks for arms, some knives for arms.
This is great. This guy's brains are flying out of his head. This guy's got straws for teeth.
I gotta say, that is a beautifully sculpted brain out of pumpkin parts.
It is quite nice.
Yeah.
We could have called on this phone for a good time. It's a pumpkin phone.
Oh, there's a pumpkin phone.
There's a pumpkin Graham Bell.
You know what that looks like to me?
No,
that looks like a lazy ass pumpkin.
It does look like a pretty lazy one, I gotta say. Yeah.
There's a Hitchcockian moment going on with the leftover pumpkins.
I see a flock of seagulls, and I hear a flock of seagulls, and I hear the flock of seagulls.
I'm actually wearing Flock of Seagulls today.
And they are eating pumpkin parts out of the bay, out of the marsh.
Yeah. Let's go inside. I'm cold.
You know what? So am I. Freezing my butts off.
Where's the helmet?
I think the helmet is now on display at the Museum of Natural History.
Yeah. Okay. Museum de Civilization.
Yeah, the Museum of Civilization. Because basically this is describing an anthropomorphic moment in life.
That was the scene. Okay. Bye.
You guys want to say hi?
We're boring.
Do you want to say hi? I'll say hi. Okay, go into this microphone and say hi.
Just real quick.
This is Max Porter saying hi.
Hello.
Oh my God, that was such a Max Porter hi.
I'm going to hear this back on AWN.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the Wilhelm scream.